Open your Bibles to the book of John. I didn't know what the lesson was going to be for the adult Sunday school class. Any resemblance is purely coincidental. But we'll have to study words today. In John, the first chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." And those who think that God is Jesus and Jesus is God attach themselves very firmly to this passage, and I'm sure haven't done any particular research. And I want to introduce to you this morning the research that's interesting about this. The word "word" sounds so simple we shouldn't have to do any word study. Is that all right? But I think we do, and I've prepared a list of things for us to read, think about, which should weigh heavily on the minds of a person that's trying to resolve this verse or two at the beginning of John. What is this word? The passage does not say the word is Jesus. And there is a passage which calls him the Word of God. So you have those two things to think about while we do our research. The Greek word for this word, word, is spelled L-O-G-O-S. And we have kyped a part of that and brought it into English in our word logic. But let's see what the Bible does. The word "word" is used three times in reference to this Greek word L-O-G-O-S. And I'll just read one here. Let's turn to Matthew 12. What we have is approximately 24 different translations of this Greek word L-O-G-O-S. And so that's just about our time limit here this morning to read one for each. And that's what we're going to try to do. Matthew 12:32. "Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It's right there in the beginning of the verse. "Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man." Whosoever speaketh a logos. And that is pretty easy to tell what that word means. If someone comes out with a statement against the Son of Man or against Jesus, he has done the thing that this verse says not to do. And that's called a L-O-G-O-S. Now let's go to Colossians. We're going to change words again. Every time we go to a different place, we change words. It's still L-O-G-O-S. Colossians 4 and verse 3. "With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." The word is utterance. A statement. Paul speaks here of opening a door of utterance, making a way possible to speak the truth to someone. A door of logos. Now to another word, and we'll go to the book of Acts. Chapter 1 and verse 1. We don't often read this verse. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The word here is treatise, which means an epistle or a writing. The former treatise have I made. What was that? It's called, to you and me, the book of Luke. Luke wrote his book in his name, and he wrote the book of Acts. And it is a logos. Is your mind expanding here this morning? Getting a broader understanding? Let's go into the 11th chapter of the same book. Verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. The logos here is the word tidings. So many different translations, but each time we get a different word, we get a little better understanding. Back up to the 5th chapter. And we're going to read it, verse 24. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. You'd be hard put to guess what's the logos here. But it's the English word things. Things. Now let's read that again. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these logos, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. They got a message, clear and simple. And they wondered how far it would go. But it's clearly just a message or a story. Let's try Romans chapter 9. And we'll read here at verse 28. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And the word here is work. W-O-R-K. Helping us to understand a little better. Let's try 1 Peter 3:15, a different word. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The word here is reason. A reason. When you are trying to fulfill this verse, which I know many of us have read and studied here, and we try to do what this verse says, what we're doing is giving a logos. A reason of our hope. Here's a little bit harder one. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be of the first principles of the oracles of God. And I'm in the wrong verse, that's it. It doesn't read right. Let's get to verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. And you probably wouldn't guess which one this is. It's the word say. We have many hard or difficult things to say. When we preach the gospel, there are many doctrines to bring out. Many times we have verses that are difficult to understand. And so it's fair to say there are many hard things to say. Hard being difficult. But we must logos anyway, even if it's hard and difficult. Similarly, Matthew 19, and verse 11, we don't usually read this with the idea of logos. We have something else in mind. But look at 19:11. But he said unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. This remark is being made about being eunuchs for the kingdom of God's sake. The word here that we're looking up is S-A-Y-I-N-G. Not every man can receive this saying, this logos, this doctrine, to be a eunuch for the kingdom of God's sake. In Colossians 2:23, we get a different one, a quite different one. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. The word logos here is S-H-E-W in the King James. S-H-O-W in modern English. A show, a display. People who beat themselves, jump up and down, scream, run around in circles, trying to attract the attention of their God. It all looks like religion of some sort. But he puts it down as having no honor to the satisfying of the flesh. But the show is a logos. Acts 14:12, another word. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. They honored them as their pagan gods. And Paul because he was the chief logoser, chief speaker. Acts 20. Seventh verse. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Continued his logos until midnight. Their meetings back in these days were long, like some of our meetings where we go and visit people on an annual or semi-annual basis. It's because they don't get many meetings. And Paul preaching on into the night was not abnormal under the circumstances. But he was doing his logosing. Matthew 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. Talk. The objective was to catch Jesus saying the wrong words and find some reason why they could put him to trial and possibly get him killed. But it had to start with entangling him in his logos. And from time to time they did that, and they picked choice little tidbit doctrines, like the question about divorce, trying to trick him. But Jesus always stopped them with a good answer, such as, "You do err not knowing the scriptures. You do err not knowing the true logos." Was Jesus the Logos? Well, yes, in that sense that he was. He gave the Word of God truthfully each time. In that sense, he was. Let's turn to Romans again. Chapter 14. And verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The word here is account. Every one of us will give a logos of ourselves on Judgment Day. Got to get back to Matthew. Chapter 5, verse 32. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. The word here is cause. When we get into divorce situations, we state our cause. Hopefully none of us will get into this situation, but it seems like every once in a while it happens, and we have to state our logos. In the same chapter, at verse 37, look at this one. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. It's the word communication. When in trial, we are allowed to answer yes or no. And that is all. No swearing, in other words. Just yes or no. That's our communication, that's our logos. And now to Philippians. Chapter 4. and verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And this one was kind of hard to guess. It's the word concerning. And that's the logos in that case. No church communicated with me as in logosing, giving and receiving. Kind of have to anglicize the word there sometimes in order for us to get the picture. It's a doctrine. The doctrine of receiving and giving. Hebrews 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. This one's easier to guess. It's the word doctrine. And we have a commandment here to move on from basic doctrine, basic logos, and get into some of the heavier, meatier teachings. It's all logos, whether it's talking a simple message like we teach the children, the stories of Jesus or Adam and Eve, or whether it's the complicated things of prophecy. It's all logos. Let's go back to the Gospels, to Luke, chapter 5. Verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. The word here is fame. Jesus was in some people's minds famous. In other people's minds he was infamous. But in any case, we can say very surely that his fame went ahead of him. People had an opinion of him before they saw him, because the word was getting around, the logos. Next one I want to read for you is from Acts 10. And we'll read here at verse 29. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. The word here is intent. What was on your mind when you called me down here, Paul says. What was your intent? What was your logos? 11th chapter of Acts and the 4th verse. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying. In this case, the word we're using here is a supplied word. It's the word matter. It doesn't appear in the original Greek, it's just in the English. But I thought we ought to have it for our understanding. It's helpful. I think the translator did a good job in putting that word in there. Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it. When reporting on circumstances and events, It's a good idea, in many cases, to start from the beginning and go through to the end. Yesterday I had a phone conversation with a person I didn't know. I sat quietly for a considerable length of time while they rehearsed the situation as they saw it from the beginning to the end. And I had a few short comments when they finished. But it's often good to rehearse from the beginning to the end the Logos. Sometimes it's necessary to refer to Genesis and all points in between before you get to Revelation, before the person will begin to understand the whole Logos. Let's go to the 15th chapter of Acts. And verse 27, this is quite different. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, by Logos. And our opinion of what the word Logos means should be getting what I call highly developed. The next reading will be 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The Logos here is the word preaching. And our last scripture, and then we'll have a few little comments, is this interesting passage in Mark 11. And we're reading here at verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The Logos here is the word question. Tell me one Logos, and then I'll answer you. Jesus was constantly debating with the leadership of the Jews. It was difficult for him to get anywhere with them. And sometimes he put the squeeze on them, as you see in the text like this. You tell me the answer to my question or something like that, and then I'll tell you mine. Oh, you can't answer? Well, then I can't answer either. The Logos, the question, the account, the word, and all these different things that we've read always suggest the same thing. Speech, reason, presentation of the word. I will go briefly down the list of words that I checked out and give you the number of times that they occur as translations. The word word, 3 times. The word utterance, 4 times. The word treaties, tidings, things, work, all 1 time apiece. Reason, 2 times. The word say, S-A-Y, 1 time. The word saying takes the prize at 15 times, a word we would least expect. The word show and speaker, 1 time each. The word speech, 7 times. The word talk, 1 time. The word account, 4 times. The word cause, 1 time. two times for communication, once for concerning, once for doctrine, once for fame, once for intent, eight times matter, one time mouth, one time preaching, and two times question. And now there shouldn't be any question. The word logos, as used in John 1:1, is not a person. In the beginning was the Word. It's a very good translation. The word is very good. And when you study the creation story, you find out there's nobody there but God. And when He spoke a word, it happened. Final example, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the true Logos.